a little over a month ago, Lily came to me and she asked me if she could share at youth on a Wednesday night. And I said, absolutely. Why don't you send me some of your thoughts together? And she sent me the most organized and planned and just ordained message. Oh, yeah, little kids can go. Sorry, little kids can go. Miss Tammy's waiting back there for y'all. She sent me the most organized and prepared thoughts and messages, and it was clear that the Lord had spoken very much to her heart. And she shared with us in youth on that Wednesday night. And when I tell you that we all just sat there in stunned silence as she spoke to us, it was powerful. And so I asked her today on Next Gen Sunday if she would share her message with you. It's a little different talking to you guys than it is talking to a bunch of teenagers. But I want you to open your heart and your mind and just receive from Lily as she shares her testimony and the truth of the Word of God and be inspired by what the Lord is speaking to the next generation. So would you please join me in welcoming Lillian Measley.
Hi, so I'm Lily, I don't really know. Anyway, so I was baptized April 16th of last year, and I really believed I was truly saved in March of that same year. And essentially, I faked being a Christian for about like 5 years. I was an atheist. I didn't believe. There was a lot going on in the latter half of 2022 and beginning of 2023. Lots of anxiety, numbness, and just a lot more going on. I remember the only time I felt like I could be myself and just be honest was in small groups at Glare. People started coming to me for advice outside of Glare, during Glare, and I was really confused because I felt like a fraud. And then worship made me feel so much more connected to my emotions, and I didn't understand why. I didn't realize it was God at the time. And in March, when I found God, I told someone who was very, very close to me at the time. This person was also an atheist, and they were not supportive of me. I felt so incredibly lost because this person that I cared for so deeply wasn't treating me as well as I should have been treated, and basically just treated me as an outcast from that point out. This person decided to cut me off from their life, and that same Sunday, baptism Sunday was announced, and I knew that that was a sign from God. And I have this little like thing that I wrote out, and I've shared with a couple people. It was a miracle in itself that I became a Christian. It was a set of circumstances that I knew couldn't be a coincidence. It had to be God. And then I got baptized with my dad, and it was the best day of my life. I loved it so, so much. I felt so just filled with Jesus, and I knew that from then out my life had been changed. And he changed my life in a lot of ways. For one, I know myself better than I ever, ever have. I've always struggled with having a sense of self and a connection with myself. And then I learned through God, a connection with God is a connection with myself. If I connect with God, I can learn about myself through him. And in Psalm 139:16, it says, you saw me before I was born. Each day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And God knows me. If I connect with him, I can know myself better. I'm sorry, one second. My notes are confusing.
There it is. Galatians 2:20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ lives in me. So if I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's how I figured out, like, learning who I am and learning who God is at the same time was just one of the craziest experiences in my life. And, yeah.
And two, I'm a lot more honest with myself and others, obviously. Like, God helps with honesty. But it's important to not just hold yourself accountable with sin, but also through, like, self-neglect. Through prayer and listening for God, you can feel when you know you should be loving yourself when you're not. And then three, I've learned to be a light to others. I mentioned earlier that people were coming to me for advice, and I didn't know how to feel about that since I felt like a fraud. And still people came up to me and asked me, like, hey, like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I love that now. I love whenever people ask me about that now, especially since, like, talking to Claire. Yeah. And so the reason I was led to worship in the first place and follow Jesus was because people saw me as a light. And now it's something I really, really enjoy, seeing as I'm right here, up here at the front of the entire church. And then there's a lot of ways that, and then for a little short period, I felt like my relation with God, like, kind of tanked a little bit after that. And I was like, what's going on? I was so, like, on fire for Jesus. And now, like, it's gone. I didn't understand what that felt like. But because I didn't know that I had to continue a relationship, and I didn't know I had to actually build habits to actually, like, put effort into it. Cause I had never had to do that before in my life. I never knew what that felt like. But, and then, like, some things it's, like, it feels like it's a chore sometimes, but, so there was, like, a few things that I, like, that I've started doing that aren't necessarily as, like, difficult or whatever, and for one is thanking God, just getting into the habit of just saying, thank you, God, whenever, thank you, God, just going through your day, look at that, oh, thanks, God, look at that, oh, thanks, God, you know, it's just really awesome. It's just, like, the one thing that's, like, super easy to do, and it's, like, when prayer feels like a chore, just be thankful. That's what he wants you to be, is thankful. And participating in church, there's helping with events, you know, just being at Glare. Also, there was a lot of things that I was able to do, like helping with events at Glare and, I don't know, just speaking in small groups there. And then praying, worshiping, and reading scripture, obviously, but you don't have to do those in the such like the praying. You don't have to just, like, be like, oh, dear Jesus, blah, 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 blah. You can be, like I said earlier, just being thankful throughout your day, and just, like, throughout your day, just being like, ugh, God, please, why? And then worshiping, you also don't have to just, like, stand in your little chair and just go, blah, 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 Jesus, I love you. You can listen to worship music in the morning when you're getting ready, or whatever, when you're at night, when you're getting ready to go to bed. It just having that in your ears without really even, like, thinking about it, honestly, really, really helps. And then reading scripture, that's pretty simple, reading scripture. But there's also, like, tools, like, in the Bible Gateway app, you know, you get your verse of the day. Even just reading that every day is really, really helpful, because you're still reading scripture, you know. And then, yeah, and I'm just really thankful for every chance God has given me to speak, and to find him and speak about my journey. And I've learned through that, because I felt so out of place for such a long time, because I was like, oh, you know, everyone around me in Glare especially has been a Christian since they were kids, you know, they were saved when they were 5 years old at camp or whatever. And you know, I felt super out of place for a while, but doing stuff like this and really participating in church is what really, really helped me get out of that. And yeah. Thank you.
I love when the Lord speaks through humbleness, because there's such truth that comes in honesty. When Lily sat there that night and she began to talk about how that through worshiping the Lord that she began to know herself, and how she was always seeking for an identity, and then when she just sought God, then she all of a sudden knew herself better than she could ever imagined. And I thought, she has no idea how profound that is. Because the whole world is looking for that. The whole world is trying to find out who they are. And at 17, she figured out, if I just seek God, then I know myself. I've been a part of this church since I was 12. I moved here the summer that I turned 12, in May of that year. I turned 42 this year. There are not many people in this world who can say that they've been a part of a church for 30 years. But I have. When I was 12 years old, I showed up at that church, and they were going to youth camp. And so I signed up for youth camp. And there was this super cool youth leader. And I went up to her and I said, hey, my name is Lindsay and I'm going to youth camp with you. And I've been following her around for 30 years. It was Haley. And she was so cool because she was like 18 and in college and had a car. And for some reason, she let us hang out with her. But at 12 years old in this church, they began to power the next generation. And I remember getting the opportunity to help lead in worship and to serve in children's ministry. And it wasn't because they didn't have enough people to do it. It was because they truly believed in the next generation. And it's part of the reason that this church has sustained and lived through some of the hardest moments it's been through. Because when there were grown people who gave up on the vision and the dream of this church, when there are adults who got bent out of shape because things didn't go the way they wanted and they revoked their memberships and they moved on. And I can say this because I've been here for 30 years. And when they just decided that because things didn't go the way they wanted, that they were just going to walk out the door. But Sunday still came and people still came and showed up and wanted to worship the Lord. It was the next generation of 14-year-old girls who went in nursery and served when the leaders had fallen out and who taught, saying, come and go with me to my father's house with the children in children's ministry. It was teenagers who swept the bathrooms and cleaned them up before church services, and on Saturday nights, college students who came and cleaned while rocking out to ridiculously loud rap Christian music in the sanctuary, and then played Nerf Wars and ran all through it. And this church has constantly believed in the next generation, but not just believed in their futures, but they have believed in their validity and their power now. And it is the answer and to the Lord's commitment and what is spoken in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Do not let anyone despise you because you are young, but be an example to the believers in. And the first one of these is speech. Today we had a young person through their speech be an example to us and remind us of who we are in Christ. And where we find our source, and also that a relationship with Christ is built upon the foundation of us giving forth the effort to chase after the Lord. And so, what a blessing that it is to be at a church that believes in and empowers the next generation. But also, what a blessing it is to be at a church that is led so many times by the next generation. I'm thankful for that. Lily said something at the last part of her message that I want to just kind of end with today and talk about a couple scriptures. She said she had felt out of place her whole life. Now, if there's one thing that's true about our church is we've always been a little bit of a place of misfits. I come from rebel stock, as I say. The generations of my family have never fit in anywhere. That she didn't feel like she had a place, but she found it, first in Christ and second in his church. I know a lot of people feel like they're out of place, feel like they've never kind of found their thing, never found what they're good at, how they are supposed to serve the Lord, what they are supposed to do. But today I felt like when she was speaking, and one of the things that stuck out to me was when she talked about just giving thanks all the time and how that had completely revolutionized her life. Just saying, thanks, God. That's a pretty sunset. Thank you, God. I got to school on time. Thank you, God. Thanking God for the little things, how it had revolutionized her life. And today I want to look at Psalms chapter 145. And I want to remind you today that you're not out of place. Christine Kane has this quote where she says, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And also, she also says, there's no expiration date on your destiny and your future. The Lord loves to use foolish things to confound the wise. And so when it comes down to it today, if there is breath in your lungs to praise the Lord, then you are not out of place. In Psalms 145, verses 1-3, it says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. First and foremost, every day your place is a place of praise. This verse tells us, it says, I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. A place of praise is a place of purpose. There is always purpose. When you choose to praise God in the face of circumstance, you create an environment in which the enemy cannot exist. He can't exist within the praises of God. That's why he's not in heaven anymore. He cannot exist within your praise. So when you make the decision every day to praise God in every circumstance, you are expelling the enemy out of your place. He cannot be there. We take the power back from circumstance when we choose to praise God in the midst of it. And so I want to tell you today that your place, first and foremost, is in praise. You can never be out of place when you exist in praise. It changes the whole dynamic of your life. In verses 4-7, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell me of the power of your goodness and of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. When it says they over and over again, it's talking about every generation. One generation commends to the other. Rep your class well. I am the class of 2000, Northside High School class of 2000. We were just so worried we weren't going to get to graduation because of Y2K. Our records were going to be lost when it changed from, y'all remember this, from 1999 to 2000? And then Christians were nervous, and for some reason I spent my whole New Year's Eve at the Civic Center. A lot of y'all were probably there, and we were there praising through the midnight, and I don't know what we were thinking was going to happen, but nothing happened. We're all still here. It was a long night. I was bored. I just remember being a teenager and just thinking, I just want to graduate. I just want a diploma. Class of 2000. Man, don't we remember repping our classes, right? Our class was better. Pep rallies, right? The juniors versus the seniors. Who can be the loudest? Rep your class, right? And now we still have this. The boomers, the millennials, the Gen X, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Gen whatever you want to be. They're all beefing with each other, right? Who's got the best music? Our generation does, right? And we're still at beef. Who's smarter? Your parents. You won't make it anywhere. Well, you're the reason we are the way we are. And they're all our, everybody's repping theirs, who they represent. And yet this verse tells us one generation commends to the next generation. It doesn't say the old generation commends to the young generation. It says one generation commends to the next generation your works. What this tells us is that when we rep the generation that we are in, it comes by reminding the other generations what God has done for us. In the Old Testament, there began to be a breakdown when one generation began to stop telling the next generation what God had done for them. There came a point when King Josiah was 6 years old or 7 years old. He finds the word of God. It had been lost, hidden away, and forgotten. And the child king finds it. And when he discovers it, he begins to have it read to the people. And they now know, wait a minute, this is the story? Wait a minute, this is what God said? And it began to change everything. But see, what happened was one generation locked away God's word and forgot to tell the next generation. And things began to crumble until a child found it and began to bring it back. We have spent so much time talking about the good old days or the next generation that we've forgotten that the only reason we came out and survived the good old days was because of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us. And guess what? This generation, they're only surviving because of God's goodness and his faithfulness. And what if we could get to the place where instead of telling the other generations what a mess they are, we began to start yelling at each other and saying, you know, in 1985, I was a walking mess, but the Lord saved me and he brought me out and he saved my soul. My grandfather and grandmother tell a story of how they walked into a little church in a long, long time ago. 40s? I don't know. They're in their 80s. Forgive me, Grandpa. But a long, long time ago, they walked into a tiny little church and people began to lay hands on them and pray for them. And they began to speak in other tongues and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was always the story that he would tell us, is about how he, as a young man, walked into a church and the older people began to lay hands on him and pray for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as he began to come up, he began to lay hands on my father and my aunts. And he began to pray over them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when my father was doing all kinds of things he shouldn't, my father and grandmother prayed and told him constantly about the good news of Jesus Christ. And then when he paused for a minute, they packed his butt up and sent him to a Bible college in Texas so that he couldn't be around anything he shouldn't. And then he had us, and from the time I was little, he has told me about the goodness of God and about how God saved his life all those years ago and how the Lord redeemed him and restored him. And it's been his testimony and my mother's testimony and the testimony of my grandparents. And my children know the way the Lord has restored me, but let me tell you something. This young woman today stood up here and she said in front of all of you, I was an atheist. I was not a believer. And then the Lord saved me. And it was the set of circumstances that so aligned that I knew it could only be God. Can you hear that? One generation just commended to the other generation. You, God has brought you through, thankfully. But guess what? He's bringing this generation through. Because the one constant from 1940 and all the years before and beyond and beyond and beyond is that the faithfulness of the Lord has saved us and brought us through. And so we commend from one generation to the next the good works of Jesus Christ. And that is how the kingdom of God continues. And if you find yourself in a place of wondering, what's going on with this generation? Why are they lost? Maybe it's because we locked our testimony away and we've forgotten it too. But here's the thing about the Word of God. You can't hide it. And if you forget to tell it, the Lord will raise up a young person and he will give them their own testimony. And he will encounter them and he will change their life. And you may not have the opportunity to tell them, But God's word always gets through. Don't miss out your chance to rep your generation when it comes to extolling the good news of Jesus Christ. It goes on in this chapter to talk about getting into Jesus' watch and at his feet. I encourage you to go ahead and read the rest of that chapter. It says, the Lord watches all over all those who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. The very last verse of this chapter, verse 21, it says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Whatever your age, know your place. The word says, planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of your God. Your place is praise. Your place is God's house. Now listen, I spoke really sternly at the beginning of this about some rough years where young people stepped up, and they continue to time and time again. Just, I see it constantly, young people paving the way for the next generation. I've been the youth pastor for over 10 years. I started being a youth leader when I was 18. I graduated in May from high school, and that summer I started working with our youth. And I can list to you the countless young people who are passionately serving the Lord, who love the Lord their God with all their heart. And lots of them have gone down some really difficult roads, difficult journeys. And they've come to the Lord in ways that I cannot even explain. But the Lord never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. And everyone who is called upon the name of the Lord, they are saved. And there are young people who have passed through this church who have called upon the name of the Lord and then have run as far as they possibly could from God's word, and yet he is still faithful. Now, if there's one thing I can truly say that God has graced me with, it is an unrealistic, illogical hope and faith that prodigals return. It doesn't make any sense, because statistics will tell you otherwise, and people will tell you otherwise. And there have been people who have come to me and said things like, have you seen on Facebook? Yes, I have. Did you see on Instagram? I did. And they come to me like they're worried and they're concerned for some young person that they used to know. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't come to me with that. I see. I know, but see, I believe in an illogical, irrational hope that the word of God is actually true. And that those who have proclaimed and professed that Jesus Christ is their Lord, who have experienced the power and presence of Jesus Christ, that no matter how far and how fast and how long they run, that we serve an omnipresent, omniscient God who goes with them as far as they go. And that no matter how far they run, every time they turn around, they will be confronted by the goodness of God. And if you're not on that train, you're not on the train with me. But let me tell you something. Don't let me catch you confronting them with anything other than the love and acceptance of Jesus Christ, because it is the kindness of God who draws his own children back to repentance. And let me tell you something. You need to remember before you speak death over anyone that that is God's child. And if you would not speak death over your own child, don't you speak it over one of God's children. And if you are here today and you know that even in your own heart you have felt fear and overwhelming anxiety for your own children, child and have worried that they have strayed too far from God. There is no too far from God. There is no too far and separated. The word of God clearly tells us there is neither height nor depth nor distance that can separate us from the love of God. And if you have planted your children in the house of the Lord, if they have called upon the name of God, they are his, and he will do what he says he will do. We are people of irrational hope because it does not make sense that I am here based off of the decisions of the generations before me. And yet when the generations before me ran from God, he pulled them back in. And then that generation ran from God and he pulled them back in. When I ran from God, he pulled me back in. And I am telling you that my place is a place of praise. I will commend to this next generation. I will extol his name. His kingdom and his dominion have no end. Jesus is the one and only true God, and nothing can separate you from his love. And so we praise. That is our place. Because there was an atheist who God orchestrated every circumstance within her life to where it could only be him. And he took her from a place of being lost to not only being found, but being a light. I have watched this young woman take broken people under her wing and love them to healing and give them value when they felt no value. I've watched her do that with old people. Love them back to healing and restore them. And that is an irrational, unexplainable, uninformed hope, because it comes from the word of God. I will exalt you, my God, my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. Can we stand today for just a moment? Eden, if you guys will pop back up there for just a second. In Jeremiah, there's a verse where it says, the word of God is burning in my bones. It's a fire that I cannot contain, even if I wanted to. Y'all ever feel like you need to put tape over your mouth to keep yourself from saying something? What if the only way to keep the word of God and the praise of God in our mouth was put tape over it? I don't seem to have any trouble not saying that. But I got some trouble a lot of days not saying some other things. So as they come, and this is, I love our youth band. And I want to say thank you to our youth leaders this year, especially who have stepped up to make our youth group possible. Truthfully and honestly, there were about 3 years where it was me and some teenagers that did it. And that was it. And I've had some amazing adults who stepped up this year to really make it happen. And they've poured into our kids' lives. And the amazing thing is our young kids have poured into their lives. And it's been full circle to see the way that we have encouraged each other in the Lord. And so as we close out today, they're going to sing this song, Set a Fire. No place I would rather be than here in your love. I want to encourage you today to sing this to yourself and to the next generation. May we commend to the next generation the praises of our God. If you were held, if you were protected, if you were brought through, if you're here today, your place is praise. Let's take a moment and praise the Lord.